Colossians chapter 3 tonight for the preaching of God's word. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Father, thank you so much for the messages and song we've heard already. Faithful is our God, and that will bless your name forevermore. And then, Lord, I do pray that you will continue to give us clean hearts that we might be able to serve thee. Now take me as your vessel, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit, that I might preach what thus saith the Lord. Hide me behind the cross of Christ, that in no way we'd hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Bless now thy holy word, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Let me begin by saying tonight that I make no bones about it. I am an independent, fundamental Baptist. Amen. Now, to some people that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. And I understand that when you get to heaven, you're not going to get in heaven based on what denomination you were a part of or what church you are a member of. But I do believe that not every church or every building with a steeple on it is a local New Testament church. And I do believe that the shameful thing that many churches have done is that they've drifted away from New Testament Christianity. And that is living the way that they did in the Bible. Not letting the signs of the times and not letting status quo and not letting materialism and not letting new age movements and not letting the coldness and the hardness and the obstinance of hearts to determine what we believe. Listen, folks, the Bible is the Bible. It is the Word of God. We're not looking for a new body of doctrine. We're not looking for a new code of values. We're not looking for a new system of fundamentals of faith. Listen to me. I'm glad that I know who I am and I know what I believe. As an independent Baptist, as a member of Crossroads Baptist Church, we heartily believe that God builds the church. Amen. If you're here tonight, you're here not by chance, but by divine choosing. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Lord hath set the members in the body as it hath pleased him. Aren't you glad you're in the church God wants you to be in? Amen. There are a lot of places you and I could be. And if we're left up to our own wisdom or our own rationale, some of us would have stumbled into some cults or into some shams or into some scams or some mess. But aren't you glad you could come on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, a Wednesday night, a revival meeting, a missions conference? Aren't you glad that you could come on a New Year's Eve service and hear 17 or so different men not get up and preach philosophy, not speak their own opinions, not tell you what they think you should feel, not read some big family Bible and never come back to the Word of God? Aren't you glad that you can be in a church where the Bible is preached line upon line, precept upon? Don't you get over that? There are so many people, I talk to them all the time. They go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Many of them hold positions in churches. Some of them are reverends and deacons and bishops and apostles and prophets. I don't know how to figure those ones out. But nonetheless, and deaconesses and preacheresses and everything that churches seem to appoint people at and minister this and minister that. And yet you ask them very basic principles of the Word of God and they don't have a clue. I'm glad that we know what we believe. believe around here. Amen. And by the way, doctrine will save you from a lot of mess. Hey, I don't worry about a worship service when the doctrine's right. Amen. I don't worry about who's going to raise their hand and who's going to say, listen to them. As long as you go up, come down in English, that's fine with me. Amen. We don't want you speaking in tongues. We're not coming to heal nobody. We're not casting out no devils, drinking no poisonous serpents. Listen to me. We're not confused about what Bible we read. We know where we stand. Listen to me. If I was saved last week, guess what? I'm saved this week. Amen. I'm not getting baptized to wash my sins away. I don't have to get saved again. I'm not confused about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not off on doctrine. By the way, I know why the church exists. We got missionaries up on that wall because we're getting the gospel all around the world. Hey, let me tell you something. It's about time those of us that are in a good church start to appreciate we have the truth. We've been exposed to what is right. We've been blessed and highly favored by Almighty God. You could be at the Kingdom Hall tonight. You could have been at the mosque on Friday. You could have been at the Seventh-day Adventist yesterday. You could have gone to some mass this morning and been like you were in a funeral. But by the grace of God, you're in the church house tonight, worshiping God, blessing His name. Folks are singing about Jesus. We're magnifying His holy name. You got a Bible in your hand. And if God so tarries on Wednesday night, you get to do it all over again. We get the truth. Because we get the truth, we know what to do. Amen. Now, if you go flunk out this week, it ain't going to be because you didn't know better. You came to church this week. You kids went to Sunday school classes where you were taught the truths of the Word of God. Amen. I mean, we from down to the youngest up to our seasoned saints, our folks, our seasoned saints are up in their Sunday school class on Sunday morning, and these ladies are teaching the Word of God to each other. I like that. Amen. These Sunday school teachers are handling the Word of God. Our young people are taught, and our children's church classes are taught, and folks are getting saved down there. And our teenagers, we're going through systematic theology and studying what the Bible says about something. Not what we think, not what we feel, not what's convenient to believe, but what does the Bible say about things? You know what? When we have the Bible that is taught, that is preached, that is learned, that is experienced, we know what to do. You ought to just say amen tonight because you know what to do. It's not the problem. The problem with most of us is not that we don't know what to do. It's that we don't know how to do it. And when I mean how to do it, I'm not saying how to figure out how to get it done. I'm talking about we don't know how to do it the right way. In other words, we don't know how to do it where God is pleased. We don't know how to do it where heaven agrees. We don't know how to do it where the Holy Ghost is sanctioning what we're doing. We don't know how to do it where all God wants to know and to see is that we're putting what He expects us to put into what we do for Him. And I'll tell you something, the sad thing about the independent fundamental Baptist movement, I'm telling you, nobody in here is in more churches in a year than I am. Last year alone, I probably was in 65, 70 different churches in a year. And if you count the meetings where I'm at, where sometimes 29, 30, 45, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 pastors are represented. And if the pastor is a certain way, rest assured, the church is probably a few notches below him. Amen. So we're going to count them as churches too. He's representing his church. And I'm telling you, most of the time, when I go, rarely anymore do I go into Independent Fundamental Baptist Church, go in a conference and a meeting. Rarely do I go there and say, man, that guy said something I don't believe, or that guy preached something I don't agree with, or they're propagating something that I can't attest actually lines up with the Word of God. No, most of the places I'm in where I go, people believe like we do. They think what we think. They're speaking English. They believe in eternal security. They read and preach out of the King James Bible. They sing songs of Zion. Most of them believe are the same thing that we believe. But I tell you what's missing. What's missing is what Paul challenged these Colossians in chapter number 3 when he said, whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Let me tell you something. at 9:45 on Sunday morning, somewhere in this building, somebody is teaching the Word of God. You're sitting in the class listening to the Word of God. After that, you got a break before you're going to be back in worship service. And at 11 o'clock, the choir is singing. The church is worshiping. Then somebody is praying. Somebody else sings. And then a little bit while, we have congregational song and more singing. And then the offering comes. And then more singing. Amen. I like that singing. We don't have more of it. Amen. And then the preaching comes, and you, I'm preaching, or somebody's preaching, and you're responding. And then the invitation comes, and all over this building. And by the way, what this church does doesn't just take place on Sundays and Wednesdays. On Monday night, somebody's preaching in the jail. Other people are knocking on doors. On Tuesday night, our folks are in the jail. On Wednesday night, we're back at church. Thursday night, we've got a homeless ministry. Friday night, we've got ministries going on. Saturday, we've got men's prayer, visitation, cleanup crews, bus visitation going on all around this area. Listen to me. We're doing right things. We're doing good things. We're doing what God wants us to do. But the question tonight is, whatever you do, is your heart in it? Is your heart in what you do? Crossroads Baptist Church will not just get recognized for what it does, but God wants to know if we do it with our whole heart. I want to ask you a question. When you get in this church, when you get here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, whatever you're doing, is your heart in it? Is your heart in it? When you grab that hymn book, is your heart in it? Rest assured, if your mouth is not moving, I can bet on the fact your heart's not in it. When you put something off place, is your heart in it? Yes, 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 yes. When you put your money in that offering plate, is your heart in it? Hey, choir, is your heart in what you're singing? Is your heart in it? When you go soul winning, is your heart in it? Huh? Yeah. I'm talking about whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men. I want to preach tonight on putting our heart in everything we do. Putting our heart in everything we do. I want to be somebody that deposits all of me into all that I do. And my friend, it's very easy to get caught up in doing the right things without having our heart in it. Listen, Christianity is not punching the clock. It's not being on roll. It's not just showing up. It's not just being a member. It's not just being in the ministry. It's not just being in the choir. It's not just being noticed. It's not just being in the house. You see, every individual has a responsibility to plug in all the way, to give everything we have, to put everything we are into what we do. Why? God says, I want your whole heart. Putting your heart in everything you do, first of all, requires the right perspective. The right perspective. Look at Colossians chapter 3. And look what he says. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. By the way, here he's talking specifically in context about the relationship of servants and masters in those times, slaves. Contextually, this in this day and age, bosses and employees having the right response to them. But if you look down at verse number 24, if you look at the last statement there, Paul said, in a nutshell, ye serve the Lord Christ. Amen. So the right perspective for me as a Christian is this: I am a servant. Let me say that again. I am a servant. Listen. For a few moments tonight, drop your title. Just for a few moments. You can pick it up when we leave. For a few moments, drop your title. Lose your clout. Amen. set aside your authority. Amen. Forget your image. Amen. For a few moments tonight, don't demand that everybody recognize who you are. For a few moments tonight, remind yourself you are a servant. Amen. Because when we get in the church, we've got to realize that at the end of the day, there's only one boss. Amen. There's only one king. Amen. There's only one CEO, and he owns everything. Hey, listen to me. God owns everything, and his son, Jesus Christ, is our master. So if I am a servant, watch this now. If I am a servant, notice he said, whatsoever ye do. That means I got to be active in service. Now, in order to put your heart in everything you do, this is deep. In order to put your heart in everything you do, you got to be doing something. Okay, so let me ask you a question. Are you a member in this church that does nothing? Well, when we talk about servants, servants don't sit, servants serve.
Amen.
Amen. Well, they ought to be glad I came. Who? You shouldn't be coming for them. Come on now. Servants. That means you got to be active in service. I want everybody tonight to evaluate your contribution to the work of God and say, is there something I could be doing? Is there a bus route I could get on? Is there a choir? Could I sing in the choir? Could I usher? Could I help out in the Sunday school class? Could I teach in one of the kids, in one of the kids' ministries? Could I work in the nursery? Could I go to the jail? Could I go to the homeless shelter? Could I come to visitation one night? Why? Because God saved me to be a servant. And if I'm going to serve with my whole heart, I got to serve in the first place. Active in service. You know what that means? If I'm active in service, I've got to be abandoned from slothfulness. Well, you can't put your heart. Listen, I know. The more and more I read the Bible, the more I'm beginning to understand that it's impossible to be spiritual and lazy. It's impossible. The Christian life requires too much work. The Christian life requires too much action. So if you're lazy, you're not spiritual. If you're spiritual, you're not lazy. Without a crystal ball, looking at your ashy palms, I can tell you that tonight. If you're spiritual, you're not lazy. And if you're lazy, you're not spiritual. Amen. So let me ask you a question tonight. Is there something I could be doing? Is there somewhere I could be going? Is there somebody I could be investing in? Is there something my life could accomplish? Is there work I could be doing? Well, I'm not talented. Guess what? You don't have to be talented to put mulch down. You don't have to be talented to vacuum. You don't have to be talented to mop. You don't have to be talented necessarily to paint. You don't have to be talented to pull trash. You don't have to be talented to take kids to the bathroom. You don't have to be talented to ride on a bus. You don't have to be talented to stand out there and help build a fence. You don't have to be talented to hold an offering plate. You don't have to be talented to pick somebody up. You don't have to be talented to work in the nursery. You don't have to be talented to go help somebody else. You don't have to be talented to work in one of these widows' houses. You have to be talented to invest in the life of one of these teenagers. You don't have to be talented. You just have to be somebody that knows who you are and puts your heart in it. Could you learn sign language? Could you file music? Even right now, we're in the process of building a new daycare. Some people won't want to do nothing. Hey, listen, we're servants. We're servants. You don't have to be a ministry leader, but be in something. Amen. So I've got to have the right perspective. I'm a servant. He's talking to me when he said servants. Servants! Obey! I've got to be abandoned to slothfulness. Active in service. Amen. Appropriate in submission. Submission is appropriate for a servant. Amen. I said submission is appropriate for a servant. You know what that means? You don't have to have
the head spot to be involved. Amen. You can sing loud even if you're not the soloist. Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. You can go work in the class even if you're not the teacher. You can say amen even if you're not preaching. Amen. Amen. You can pass the offering plate even if you're not the first one. Amen. You can determine by the grace of God. It ain't about the spotlight. That's already taken. We're not having auditions for the spotlight. We're not taking interviews for the spotlight. We don't have a vacancy in the spotlight. The light didn't go out. The fuse didn't go off. The bulb didn't blow. Somebody help me. The circuit breaker is still on. The plug is still in the socket. Aren't you glad that Jesus' bulb never blows? Aren't you glad that his light never goes dim? Aren't you glad that he never runs out of voltage or wattage? Aren't you glad that when the devil goes down, Jesus is still shining? We're not looking for a spotlight. We're looking for somebody to point somebody else to the spotlight. And when I know my place, I'm not worried about being impressive. I'm worried about being submissive. So, I have the right perspective. Number two, I have the right passion. And whatsoever ye do, watch this now, do it heartily. Now, let me tell you what that literally means. Do it with your whole soul. You ever heard somebody say, that person got some soul to them? You know what that means? Some oomph. Yeah. Amen. Some people sang from here and some people sang from here. Yeah. Soul. Amen. That's why they call it soul food. Amen. Because whoever cooked it put everything in it. Even stuck a big toe down in there and put it in there. Praise God. Make you slap your mama. Amen. That's soul food. Every once in a while, I don't want no quiche and little hors d'oeuvres and little crackers and special cheese. Every once in a while, I just want some finger-licking chicken. Amen. Some fried catfish and hot sauce. Some macaroni and cheese and candy yam, collard green. Come on now. Every once in a while, I just want some good old-fashioned stuff. I don't want no fancy stuff. And every once in a while, I want to put the fork down. Amen. I want to put the knife down. Amen. I want to pick that thing up and grab it with my hands. Amen. Every once in a while, when the meat gone, I want to chew on the gristle and break up the bone and suck it off and sop it in the grave. Why? Because I'm serious about this. Hey, when you come to church and you land in that choir loft, you ought to be singing from your soul, I will bless your name forevermore. Faithful, faithful is our God. Let everything that have breath. You on video, check it out. And by the way, while I'm thinking about it, I hear some church members say, oh, you ought to see how you look in the choir. Well, you ought to see how you look while you're looking at it. It goes both ways. You got just as much responsibility to worship from the pew as they do from the loft. Let your hair down every once in a while. Amen, amen. If that hand can go up there to scratch that dry scalp, it can go up a few more inches to raise it in the air. Amen. Amen. You can pick your nose, you can praise the Lord. Amen. We know your arm worked. Yes, indeed. Same one you grabbed the hymn book with. Yes. Amen. We know that voice worked. Same when you yelled at the TV like the quarterback could hear you. Yeah. Hey, you can yell at the quarterback all you want to, he can't hear you. But if you yell amen at me, I can hear you. Amen. Amen. I can hear you. By God's grace, passion. Here's heart defined. Here's soul defined. Mind, emotion, and will. Now watch this now. Whatsoever you do, watch this now. Do it with your mind, do it with your emotions, and do it with your will. All right now. Let's grade ourselves. You ready? When you come to church, how much of your mind is here? Come on. Let me give you a little examples of when we know your mind's not here. When we bring somebody up in front of the church and say, this person got saved, and you don't say anything. Your mind ain't here. No, you didn't even hear it. And I know you didn't, because you go up to the person the next week and say, would you like to get saved? If you was listening, they were standing up there last Sunday and got saved. Amen. So your mind's not here. You'll be surprised what we see from here. I mean, I watch people sometimes and I'm thinking, did you hear that? Did you hear that? The pastor just said, Jesus is coming again. Know what that means? Your mind's somewhere else. Watch this now. Your emotions. Well, I'm not an emotional kind of person. Really? Do you cry? That's emotional. Yeah. I'm always tickled at people that say, I'm not really the emotional type. And I say, then why are you frowning? That's an emotion. Come on. As a matter of fact, physiological proof says it takes more muscles in your body to frown than it does to smile. Some of you killing yourself with that bad attitude. Ripping pages out the calendar of your life. I hate this thing. Well, don't worry. You ain't going to be here much long. At that level, you'll be dead for the service. At least you'll be in the church. We can go ahead with the funeral. Amen. There's no such thing as I'm not emotional. Okay, you may not be sentimental. You may not be the crying type. But by nature of being human, you're emotional. So whatsoever you do it heartily. I don't have a good voice. God knew that. Amen. Amen. He's been trying to join the choir for a couple of years. I told him it's not good for people that come if he does that. It's not good. But that doesn't mean you can't grab your hymn book and sing with all you got. Amen. By the way, when you're standing back there, just because you're on the wall don't mean you can't be in the zone. Amen. The plates ain't going nowhere. They are not going to walk from up to them little pews right there. If you say amen for 1 second, we're going to still, listen, we're going to get things back together, give you a little time to breathe before you come up here with all that looking, then all that. We're going to give you a little time to get it together. Go ahead and worship. When the preaching takes place, are your emotions into it? You don't have to be a hanky waver. You don't have to be an aisle runner. You won't bother me if you do. As long as you living for God. Amen. Don't run around here living like the devil. Amen. And don't run around here when you ain't wearing something conducive with running. Amen. Because you can't praise God and get credit for one and then be sinned for showing your stuff. Amen. Falling all out. Amen. It's amazing how some of these ladies fall out in these churches, legs and everything up in the air, and that God ain't in that. No. Sister, keep that to yourself. Amen. That's why somebody else good to have them white sheets. Amen. Throw it over that sister. She's a little blessed there. Amen. All right. Throw the sheet over. The comforter and the fitted sheet, the towel. Throw something over. Let's bow for prayer. Amen. But you know what? It wouldn't kill you every once in a while to nod your head to what's being preached. And you men, it wouldn't kill you just to come up off yourself a little while. You'll be all right. I don't want people to look at me. After you do it 3 weeks in a row, they'll be used to it. You just got to break them in. You just got to break them in. Break them in. They'll be used to you. When you don't do it, they'll be like, oh, you got laryngitis? Your will. volition. That's my power to choose. My power to choose. If you don't know the words, grab a book. Why? Because I can't put my heart in it if my mind is not reading the words.
That's right.
Come on, this is not chemistry. This is common sense, right? We're singing about God. Somebody's testimony has been laid on that page. I get the chance with my non-singing self to sing and worship God. And I'm going, save me. You know, it's the little words, you know. On the tree, you know, you throw it on the, come on, you got 3-4 verses. You missed out on worship. God didn't get no worship out of zoom, 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 zoom. God getting worship out some words. Amen. And when words are said out your mouth, those words that come out your mouth are going right back in your ears, into your mind. That's why it's good at home every once in a while just to pray out loud. I need to hear myself say to myself some things about my God. Mind, emotions, and will. Right passion. Right passion. I'm going to help you with this because we don't step it up. Right purpose. Watch this now. As to the Lord. Wait with me. And not unto men. Who you doing it for? Who you doing it for? Hey, you know that you're not doing it for God when you skip when a person's not watching. So here's the right purpose. To please the master. And not for the praise of men. Amen. Good job.
Thanks.
Great job. Really? That's your way of saying, say more. Wait a minute. Oh, God. Let me watch. Let me sing this song like nobody's in the auditorium. Now listen. My wife tells me I'm loud all the time. She's right. At home, I'm loud. I'm singing, shower, I'm loud. I talk about the Lord, I'm loud. In the car, I'm screaming. Y'all by myself. I don't need you here to worship. I'm serious. Ask my family. Listen, I get up around the house, have me a good time. She said to me last night, what is wrong with your eyes? You been crying again? Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. If I had to wait all the way till Wednesday to worship again, I'd be done killed myself. Amen. I don't have that much patience. Jesus might be back by then. Amen. Let me tell you something. Come tomorrow morning when I wake up in my right mind, whatever is left of it. Amen. And listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to worship on Monday and on Tuesday. I wish God would add days to the week so I could worship him some more. Hey, let me tell you something. I am not trying to show off or to look excited because somebody is watching me. Let me tell you something. I get back in that choir loft or in that choir room and start singing the songs. And I think, my soul, I know this was rehearsal. I know we ain't really performing yet. I know we just practicing. But good gracious, allow alive. My God is good. My God is great. My God is amazing. And I don't need to be on the stage. You don't have to have the mics on. I don't have to have the lapel on. I don't have to have a crowd here. My notes, I don't have to be dressed for church. I just need to let my mind know that God is good. Because I'm doing it for him, not for them. Purpose demands passion. Hey, watch this now. When I'm doing it for the pleasing of my master and not for the praise of men, watch this now, I can never take a day off. Watch this, choir member. No. You can't take a pass on this song because it's not your favorite. No. You can't save all your juice for your favorite one. The foot tapper one. Oh, yeah, we sang it today. No. You got to worship him on Rescue a Sinner Like Me, too. Yeah, you got to. Them little slow little lullabies. Oh, we rescue a sinner like me. Can't even feel the beat in this song. You know, listen to me. That's when you got to realize I'm not here getting my groove on. Amen. I'm not here showtime. We're not riding through the soul train. Amen. I'm here trying to let God know that I really appreciate the fact that he rescued a sinner like me. I don't understand how a God so divine could lower himself to save such a soul as mine and consider me worth every minute of time to rescue a sinner like me, to rescue a sinner as worthless as I, and to save me. I just thank the Lord. If it doesn't have a beat, if the track don't work, if the mics aren't right, if the sound system ain't loud enough, it doesn't change the fact I'm still saved. And I want to please my master. So that doesn't matter to me. Everybody want to be appreciated, but that's not my purpose. I didn't sing to be. I like being appreciated. I like amens. Oh yes, do it one. Do it.
Amen.
Be a little bit louder.
Amen.
Say glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
He's worthy. I want you to use all of them. All of them. Work them in there. Practice them at home. Okay. I like to hear them. I use them all. Thank you, Jesus. Bless his name. Well, hallelujah, whatever. I like them all. But I'll spit and yell if you didn't say them. There's something in me. I'm telling you, there's something in me. And trust me, I preach in some churches where I can hear my voice bounce off the wall. I mean, I literally run down to the pew, say amen, and go back up. Just so I can say somebody in the crowd agree with me, even though it was me. I mean, I preach in some places where funeral home got more life than they do. I spit on them still. Sure do. Dad says, boy, son, you got to look better than I do. When I go to dead churches, I get down and get out quick. I said, no. I'm going to make them agree with me. Y'all want to leave up out of here? Hi, dead people. You want to leave? You want to go home? You want to see your kids? You want to see you? You want to watch your favorite show? Do you intend to eat dinner? Say amen to me. I'll kill you dead. You'd like to be dead anyway. Answer me back. Amen. People come up to me after, we ain't never heard our church say amen. I said, them people want to go home. They don't believe me, but that's all right. It make me feel good. Sing hard for Jesus. Come on, these fancy prayers and men's prayer. Oh, Father God. Can tell you inexperienced. Miss saying things. And up. Look. Do it for the Lord. Amen. Please the master and not the praise of men. Look. All of us are wired that way.
We have to go against the grain in order to not do things for people. Right? I mean, who doesn't like to be appreciated? Now, as much as we talk about humility, if you stand up here tonight and say, I don't want anybody to ever compliment, you're lying. Everybody want to be complimented. I mean, if nobody ever said good message, good song, I enjoyed, I'd be a little bit offended about that. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something way bigger and better than them that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the day when I hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know what I'm saying? You might need to just write a little creed on your palm or something, or put it on your dashboard on Sunday morning when you pull up into the church parking lot and just say to yourself, I don't care what's on my mind right now. I don't care what my husband or wife just did. I don't care about my bills. I don't care about how I feel. It really doesn't matter. When I walk through them double doors into the vestibule and through the next double doors, it ain't about my bills, my health, my job, my kids, or about my spouse. It's about a holy God who is righteous and who is just and who is pure and who is good and who is worthy to be praised. I'm going to leave that mess in the car. And if it ain't here when I get back, I'm going to praise him about that too. But I'm not bringing that junk in here. It's amazing how moody worshipers just, you'd be like, is that the same shouter? Dad beat tonight? What happened? Some bill, something. You'd feel better about your bills if you praise God. Get your mind off that mess. The right persuasion. I'm finished. Right, I'm about to finish. Finish. I'm coming. I'm going to close my Bible. Let me open it back up. As to the Lord. Knowing you're going to be rewarded. You know why you ought to put your heart into it? Because God's going to reward you. God's going to. I feel guilty if I'm in church distracted. I feel guilty flipping through and thinking about other stuff. How can somebody be pouring their guts out and you're wondering, I sure hope, what's on Andy's clothes? I've been thinking about that steak and cheese all day. Sure wish I could text him my order. I'll be down there in about 15 minutes. Steak and cheese, last minute mayonnaise, fried onions. Look, stay plugged in. You're going to be rewarded. But watch this now. Not only is reward sure, but watch this now. He that doeth wrong shall receive wrong. So is retribution. So for not giving your best to God, you're going to get punished. And by the way, I've spoken a lot tonight about what happens at church. But you know what that means also? When I'm soul winning, when I'm being a husband, when I'm being a father, when I'm at that job I don't like. Oh, Pastor Kenny, please don't go there. I thought you were closing down the message. When I'm in school and I got to turn my homework in. Talking about I did it. Did you put your heart into it? Oh, Lord. Mama says, stay right there. So I got the point, Pastor Kenny. You got the point? So I can move on, right? All right, amen. Praise the Lord. This is a good time to lie, even if you don't have it. I got the point. Amen. The way we carry ourselves. You coming to church. Look like it. Amen. Amen. Fix stuff up. Amen. Press it. Clean it. Wash it. Amen. Shine it. Cut it. Whatever. Look like you coming to see a king. And never forget that volleyball soccer team or something went to the White House and flip-flop. Y'all remember that? That girls team with the White House and flip. What the?
How many times are you going to get to go to the White House? They're on the front steps of the White House with flip-flops. As if to say it means nothing to us to go see the commander-in-chief. Put your best foot forward. Hey, we're coming to see the king. I know that it's not God doesn't look at the outside. God only looks at the... What verse is that? The Bible said man looks from the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Do you think that that means God doesn't care what you wear? Why do you think he preached against nakedness if he doesn't look at the outside? It's not what he's saying. What he's simply saying is don't always judge by the outside only. But if the inside is right, so will the outside be. Amen. Don't be quoting verses if you don't know the context. Leave that to somebody that studied it out. Amen. Reward is sure. Retribution is sure. We're independent Baptists. We know what to do. We go to Crossroads Baptist Church. And it's okay to be glad about that. But when you come back here on Wednesday, I hope you plan to. 7 o'clock, new time. Been doing great. It's been good, hasn't it? Still ain't going home. Y'all ain't going home. Still staying around here. But at least we got longer to stay around. Stay 30 minutes and we still just regular. We still early. All right. So when you come back, don't wait till preaching to worship. Amen. Lord, we give you glory. Amen. We is you. We give you all of the praise. Hey, girl, what time you get here? Lord, you're worthy of all. The traffic was sure bad. Hush. We worshiping. Amen. And then prayer time. We're going to pray. I never seen a prayer list that long and people can't come up with 10 minutes worth to pray. Going to the bathroom after 3 minutes. We done. Are you a speedy reader? Nobody should be finished before 10 minutes on Wednesday. Nobody. All these people lost and going to hell and you already finished? You hear that, kids? Pray the whole 10 minutes. Grown folks getting up to 5 minutes praying. They already finished. Sitting on the pew. Read the list. Amen. Put your whole heart into it. Preaching's going. Put your heart into it. Somebody's praying. And you looking around. Put your heart into the prayer. You're not getting something ready or getting ready for a special. Just sit down in the pew being nosy. Put your heart in the prayer. Why? Because everything we do it for God. And if we do it for God, we need to do our best at it. I think he deserves that. I really do. And I've tried to live that way. I don't want to ever have somebody ask me, what's wrong with me? Because I'm in church moping. And I'm not engaged in worship. God saved my soul. And I'm a bond servant to him. And I ought to give him my whole heart at everything I do.